We are continuing talking about Ed Wingain's landmark book, The Four Spiritual Laws of Prosperity. When I began this series on this book, I said it was going to be a week series because I like going and doing whatever the heck I want to do. So that's what I'm doing. And I also told you all, and I told Ed Wingain, that I'm going to talk on my experiences of the book. Okay, you're going to get the same content, but you're going to get my take on it. You should read Ed Wingain's book. It is a phenomenal book. It is a fun book to read. I have probably read it 5 times, and it, Marty, when she pulls into the garage, I can hear this Alabama twang in the speaker. She's listening to Ed Wingain almost half the time. The other time, it's Thomas Ashley Ferron, her chanting guru. So we need repetition. We need reminding. You know, Leonardo da Vinci said, we need reminding as much as we need learning. And so that's why we're going to continue to talk about this. But I want to ask you before, I'm not going to move the slides. You tell me what prosperity is. There are 4 aspects to prosperity. Somebody give me one. No, that's what we do to get there. What is prosperity? But thank you. Jill's already got one of the answers to the next question. Huh? Nope. Relationships that are nurturing, supportive, and work all the time. That's number one. Y'all need to know this. You at least know what you're shooting for here is prosperity. I'm serious. Relationships that are nurturing, supportive, and work all the time. Say it with me, please. Relationships that are nurturing, supportive, and work all the time. What's another aspect of prosperity? Work that you love so much, it's not work, it's play. Say that with me. Work that you love so much, it's not work, it's play. Most people hate what they do for a living, ergo they hate their lives because they do it most of their lives. What's another aspect of prosperity? All the money you can spend. All the money you can spend. That's what most people think of. That's why people think that prosperity is shallow and self-serving. It is not in any way self-serving. Because if you think about it, when you've got money and you spend it, who gets the money? Other people. Okay? You know, when my furnace breaks down and I have to spend $2,000 to fix my furnace, I go, oh, the furnace guy goes, yeah. It's just the way it is, and we need to understand that's the way it's supposed to be, okay? We left out one aspect of prosperity. What is it? Who said it? Beautiful, Liz. A vitally alive, healthy body, but that's only half of it, to support the what that we are, spiritual beings that we are. This is the 4 spiritual laws of prosperity. The 4 what laws of prosperity? Spiritual. There's lots of other prosperity books out there. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
And I've read a bunch of them. By the way, Tony Robbins' new book on money is fantastic if you've got 21 hours to read. But it's a great book. Do you want to be prosperous? Of course you do. And I will say again, if you say no, you're lying. Because I have been in ministry in one form of another or another for 2 decades, and all people want are those 4 things. Prosperity, a vitally alive, healthy physical body to provide a comfortable worldly home for the spiritual beings that we are. Next slide, please. Relationships that are satisfying, nurturing, honest, and work all the time. Work that we love so much that it's not work, it's play. And all the money you can spend. Now, that's the carrot. What do we have to do to get there? And Jill answered it a little while ago. What was the answer? First, tithing. Tithing is writing a check and giving it to your local church, right?
No.
Say it like you mean it.
No.
No, it is not. It is what?
Giving to
whoever, wherever, whatever, spiritually feeds you. How does somebody spiritually feed you? Or how does something spiritually feed you? They remind you of the presence and activity of God in your life. That's it. They can do that by, you might see somebody give money to a homeless person and it blows you away, so you have to go give money to that person who just gave money to the homeless person. You get it? Because it reminds you that God is here and God is present. It could be somebody who irritates you so much. And I mean this sincerely. Those are our sacred clowns. They are here to push us Because sometimes we don't want to walk down the spiritual path, do we? But our sacred clowns are there to push us. Let's advance the slide. So prosperity, next exit. We said we need to tithe. What else do we need to do? Forgive. And I always like to say, I like to hit everybody with tithing first because they think that's the hardest thing in the world. And then I hit them with forgiveness. Because that's much harder than tithing. Stroking a check is much easier than giving somebody safe passage through your mind. And that's an ongoing experience. So we tithe, we forgive. What else do we do? We set goals. We set meaningful, tangible goals. Very good. We set meaningful, tangible goals. That is not one that I've talked about, but I'm going to talk about it next week. What's the final thing that we do?
Be happy.
They're about the same, Bill. Molly had it, but I'll give you half a point. How's that? Because if you seek, discover, and find your divine purpose, it is the only way to be happy. Or else you go through your life feeling like everybody else fits except me. What am I doing here? Why? And it's like having a stone in your shoe all your life. You know what most people do? They just buy nicer shoes and put the stone right back in it. And the universe loves to do that because it'll pay you more money to stay in the job. I quit a job. I made $106,000 one year. And I was like, I hate this job. And I quit. And I delivered pizzas until I found what I was going to do. And I was in my 30s. Seek, discover your purpose. Now, this is where, as we say when we record audiobooks, I'm going to go off script. Because I'm not going to talk so much about what Ed Wein says. I'm looking for my glass. There they are. I'm going to talk about something else. Let's go to the next slide, please. I want to talk about labels. I want to talk about labels because I want you to see, first of all, what I am discovering lately, there's nothing more powerful than our labels. I'll give you about a year to take that in. Because our labels indicate what our beliefs are. And when we label something, it then becomes that for us. This is what it means in the wonderful metaphor in the book of Genesis when it said, God allowed Adam and Eve to name everything. You know? Hummingbird as opposed to crazy little flitty thing. We get to name it. Sacred clown as opposed to jerk. It certainly does sound better sometimes, but we're talking about growth. We're talking about growth. So what are your labels when it comes to money? These are some great ones. Hello, I'm poor. Hello, I'm broke. Hello, I'm not good with money. Have you ever used those terms? I have. I've used those terms a lot. I have used those terms, you know why? Because they were true. I have been poor and I've been broke and I've been poor with money. But we live in a culture and a society where we can read and learn and change, and money doesn't play favorites. What are your labels with regard to not just money, prosperity, in every way, in your health? What is your label about your health? Are you as healthy as you can be, wanna be, gonna be? Or are you pretty much peaked when you were in your 20s? Buddy of mine shot a picture of me not long ago and I posted it on Facebook and it got some really nice comments because I was talking about how I had changed. And somebody posted back and said, man, that's great because we are getting older. Get some good pictures now. I kid you not. You know what I said? Exact quote, dude, I'm just getting started. What is your label? When you look in the mirror, what is the label you put on your body? Take that in for a second. What is the label you put on your body? And guess who chooses that label? And guess what else? Your body will respond. About 4 years ago, I took Marty to Jamaica the first time, and we were on the beach. And we were walking around in our bathing suits. And I saw this guy checking Marty out. He was walking by us. He was subtle, but he was also young enough to be my son. And he was checking Marty out, and then he looks at her with a smile, and then he looks at me like, I don't get it. And guess what? I went back, called a buddy of mine who's former Mr. North Carolina, and I said, would you please train me? And so he began to, and what I discovered was he would email me my workouts, and I would do them, and then I would send them back, and he would email me, and he would critique, and he would talk about my nutrition. And after about 6 months, I was like, John, this isn't working. This is, you don't know what you're talking about. Now, mind you, he was Mr. Southeast, okay? And at the age of 50, he set a world record for shot put. This is my buddy John Gallardi from Wilmington, North Carolina. Meanwhile, I'm telling him he knows nothing about fitness. Do you know what he said to me? What do you tell yourself about your body? He didn't say, are you getting enough creatine, protein, and are you measuring your body fat with calipers? He said, what are you telling yourself about your body? He said, from now on, if you do 10 reps, here's what I want you to say. One, I have a great body. Two, I have a great body. All the way up to five. In my opinion, that's when my body changed. Your body responds to the labels you give it. Your finances respond to the labels you give it. You've got to say, I'm great with money. And if you're not, go get great with money. There's some wonderful accountants in this city. There's some great people who want to teach you. What do you tell yourself about your relationships? What is your label in relationships? When I was in high school, I was so fat, I was always the clown. I was the clown that showed up. Ta-da! You know, oh, sir, let me knock something over and make something funny. And so everybody treated me like a clown. Are you kind? Is your relationship, I'm kind? Is your label about relationships, I'm loving? Is it understanding? Is it, I'm forgiving? Or is it, I'm not satisfied? That's what most people have with their relationships. I would label my relationships unsatisfactory. Well, guess what? If somebody else was in the relationship, they might be better. Somebody who labeled it better. I've shared with you before, I had a woman come to me for counseling one time, and she was talking negatively about her son because her son was really going through some hard times. It was understandable. And every time we were talking about his problems, and finally one day I handed her my model and I said, I want you to think of things that you love about and appreciate about your son. And the woman could barely get to 20 things. The next week she got to 30. The next week, 50. And you know what? The next week, we stopped. You know why? He changed. She began to label him as loving, giving, supportive, healthy, happy. She began to see those things, and he felt that energy, and he changed. Our labels impact every aspect of prosperity. I mean, what have I got? I mean, you know, God gave me the desire to talk in front of people. Are you kidding me? I mean, that's stupid. That's crazy. What? That's terrible. Why couldn't I be tall? Why couldn't I just have hair? Do you hear what I'm saying? Uh-huh. I know people who come to me for coaching on speaking, because I train other speakers. And the first thing I tell them is you have to say, I love speaking. I love it. I love it. When I wrote my book, Happy This Year, which is being used as a textbook in Hong Kong to teach people happiness, I made the biggest discovery of my life. You know what happy people do? They label themselves as happy. That is first and foremost. You will never find a happy person who labels themselves as unhappy or an unhappy person that labels themselves as happy. Which comes first, the label or the egg? When I was 15, my older brother was 19. And he had this friend that they were always together with, and George just seemed a little odd. Effeminate, I guess, would be the word I would use. And they were always together. My brother's name is Chuck. And I asked him to sit down at the kitchen table, which younger brothers don't often do it to older brothers. They're usually hitting each other, at least in my experience. And I said, "Are you gay?" And I remember this wave going over him. And so the answer, he didn't need to answer the question. Do you understand? He didn't need to answer the question. And he began to cry, and I began to cry. And I said, "Do you want to be that way?" And I'm going to quote him. He said, "If I could press the anti-fag button right now, I would." And I said, "Why? That's how you are." He said, "Because just looking lovingly into a date's eyes can get me killed." Back then, we all used the word fag. Then we stopped using the word. We replaced it with the appropriate, or I guess appropriate because the group themselves approved it, gay. And now, gays and lesbians have access to the 14th Amendment of the United States. Thank you, God.
Amen.
Amen. But do you hear what changed first? The label changes first, then society changes. We change the labels, and then we change the world. We change ourselves, and we change the world. That is why it is so important, and even little silly things. It's not a problem, it's a challenge. You label it. You label it. The label that I have struggled the most with is minister. Because that's, reverend is my official title. I went to ministerial school. In fact, I did 10 years of work prior to going to ministerial school, taking Bible classes, home study classes. I had one 13-week home study class in which I had to write 7 40-page papers. I have to write out a credo of who God is and defend it in front of other ministers. I had to do this for years. And yet when they ordained me, I remember standing there thinking, "What the hell are these people doing? They gonna let me be called minister? I don't know about this. Because I know who I really am." And you know what I found is that the titles pushed me further. Because the label pushed me further. Because I remind myself I'm a minister. Because I've slipped up a few times in the last decade or two and people look at me like, "Nice work, minister. Way to go, Rev." Labels should call us higher. That's it. Labels should call us higher. After I spent so many years and $50,000 on postgraduate college. I had to have a college degree and then go to ministerial school for 2 years after the 10 years of prep work. I really went through it, believe it or not. I didn't even realize that anyone could go on the internet and get ordained as a minister. Now, don't hear that as I feel like I made a mistake. I did the right thing. Because there are ministers and there are ministers. There's yoga teachers and there's yoga teachers. It's just like, well, I can't do this, but it would be like me going online and downloading a 200-hour yoga certification and saying, I'm a yoga teacher. When someone, in my mind, when someone downloads a minister thing, it's the same thing. But sometimes, I mean, Marty's ordained. She downloaded it to do a wedding, you know. And Star's been asked to do a wedding. Star's going to be ordained. And in fact, when that came up, I started thinking about all of that. She's going to do Natalie's wedding. And I decided to do something, and I'm glad you're here because I'm going to do it today. And that is that when you take on the label of reverend, you also become a label maker. Because here's where the title reverend comes from. It is called the line of succession from Jesus Christ because it is believed that Jesus Christ ordained Peter. He said, I give you the keys to the kingdom of heaven, and anything that is loosed on earth will be loosed on heaven, made strong on earth shall be made strong in heaven. So he ordained Peter. Peter then ordained the other disciples, and from there, everyone has been ordained. So that is the line of succession. Somebody's timer's going off. Here we go. So, when you're ordained, you're typically given a stole. Do you know what those are? Things that goes around your neck? Let me explain the symbolism behind that. It came from an ox yoke. You've seen old pictures of oxes pulling these big, heavy carts, these wooden yokes that are on their shoulders. It is there because the ox does two things. The ox leads and it serves. It leads and it serves. It's pulling forward. It is serving. It's leading and it's serving. And so, when Star told me she wanted to get ordained, I told her that I would much rather ordain her myself. Because I have the option of licensing her, which means it expires, or ordaining her for the rest of her life. And I've given this a lot of thought, and I've given a lot of prayer. There are people who pay $49 and download something from the internet. And then there are people whose life is a ministry. Whose life is a ministry of goodness and sweetness and pureness and service. And in the time over the last 5 years that I have been fortunate enough to label her daughter and her label me dad, I've also seen that Star is just such a person. I never had any intention of ordaining anyone ever. I cannot think of anyone in the world it would mean more to me to ordain than my daughter, Star. So at this point, I'd like you to back the camera out, and Star, I'd like you to come forward, if you would, please. Wow. You surprised?
Yeah.
You knew this was coming, just not today. Come here, sweetie. Stay up here with me. Okay, you're on camera. You okay?
Mm-hmm.
All right. We got some business to do. I'd like to invite everyone first to put your hands in the form of a prayer and send Star your love. Because this, to me, this is a huge deal. this is the only person I ever plan on ordaining. So I'm going to ask you to answer five questions, and at the end of each one, to answer. If your answer is yes, then say, this is my vow. And say it loudly, would you please? Mm-hmm. Thank you. Star Maria Lee, in full recognition of the truth that you have been called to be ordained as a minister in Yoga Church, do you hereby solemnly vow to continue to seek the divine within yourself, remembering always that it is the only way to illumine the path for others? If this is true, say, this is my vow.
This is my vow.
Star, do you commit to give your life over to serving others? For as you do, you are serving God. This is my vow.
This is my vow.
Star, do you vow to hold yourself to the highest standards, remembering that character is the acknowledgement of God's presence?
This is my vow.
Do you vow to keep yourself an empty cup into which you forever pour knowledge intended to expand your capacity to love, to teach, and to serve?
This is my vow.
And finally, do you vow to holding a vision of peace, health, and love for all people, animals, and plants, our planet, as well as everything known and unknown in the universe, while inspiring others through your example to do the same?
This is my vow.
Star Maria Lee, in the name of Jesus Christ, all the avatars, Buddhists, and bodhisattvas who have come before us, I hereby ordain you as a peer of each and cannot wait to all that you have to teach us. Reverend Star Lee. And this hidden so well in a map so you wouldn't know what it is. If you want to freak people out, use a map to gift wrap something. In common recognition of her myriad accomplishments as a teacher and as a shining example of living a spirit-guided life, Star Maria Lee is hereby solemnly set aside and ordained as minister of Yoga Church by the authority of Jesus Christ and the blessed teachers, gurus, bodhisattvas, and avatars who have shown light on our path, I affix my signature on this date, June 28th, 2015, ordaining and bestowing upon her all rights and privileges of an ordained minister. Congratulations, Reverend Star.
Thank you.
Now, I told you when we began, we were going off script, so I want everyone to please stand, if you would. And now, Debbie has a beautiful song. She's going to sing the first verse and the chorus, and then after that, I want to invite each of you to come up one by one and give Reverend Star your blessings. And then go back to your mat. We'll collect our offering and we'll say goodbye, okay? So let's all stand here, put your hands in the form of a blessing as Debbie sings, and then I'll instruct you when to come up.
Thank you for listening. I hope you find this to be a blessing in your life. If you do, be sure and podcast these broadcasts. That is, set your device, your phone, your iPad, your computer to automatically receive these. You can do it through iTunes or you can do it through podbean.com. Go to willbowen.podbean.com and subscribe. Have a great week. I look forward to talking to you real soon. You can connect with me at will@willbowen.com. Have a great day. Bye-bye.